Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, with record inflation levels on grocery shopping and a cost of living hitting all areas of our lives, we're all on the lookout for a good bargain when we head to the supermarket. But there's a bewildering array of established brand names, own brand or value brands on offer, on display on shop shelves. How do we know we're getting the best value for money in our weekly shop? Well, to decipher all of this, I'm joined now by Adam Maguire, RTÉ business journalist. Good morning, Adam.
Hi, Claire,
good to see you again. Now, these own brands and the value brands, we've seen them around for a long time. Take us back to the yellow pack days, firstly.
Yeah, they've really been a feature of our grocery shopping really since the early days of the supermarket, so a long time. And so much so that they've become part of the vocabulary. People will still talk about something being yellow pack as a way of saying it's cheap or low value, decades after the yellow pack has actually been a thing. And people who don't remember, yellow pack was a generic grocery brand. The name kind of gives it away. It was largely yellow packaging. The details of the product would be very matter of fact in this kind of chunky, you know, stencil kind of font on the front. So you might have a yellow box with tea written on it. Mm-hmm. And anything else would just be, you know, the weight of what's inside. And that's kind of it.
It was Quinsworth, wasn't it?
Quinsworth, yeah. They were the ones who brought it in the 1980s.
Which were very snobby. The way we decided yellow pack wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it got a bad reputation very, very quickly. Yeah. Just being seen as cheap, you know, low quality. And for a lot of people buying it, you know, yellow pack was something to be embarrassed about. It was kind of a status thing. If you were buying yellow pack, that was bad, you mm-hmm. know.
Not anymore, really. And actually, yellow pack, they weren't the first. That wasn't the first own brand, was it?
No. Interestingly, the precursor to the yellow pack that we would have had came at this kind of idea from a very different angle. It's called the No Name range, based in Canada. And it has similar yellow packaging, a basic name and bold black print on the front. But rather than being something to be embarrassed about, it was a point of pride because they were signaling to the consumer that, you know, we're not wasting money on luxurious packaging and, you know, lovely high quality photos and marketing and all that stuff. And any of the money we're saving on that is now being passed on to the consumer. Very kind of matter of fact. And they're still going to this day. No Name is still going. And they've really built on that kind of straight talking image. You know, if you look at their social media, it's written in this very dry kind of, you know, long running joke of a very matter of fact kind of way. A few years ago, they brought out some merchandise, including a long sleeve yellow top that just had shirt with long sleeves written on the front of it, a yellow top. You know, very, very straightforward. And interestingly, the No Name brand, as I said, it's from Canada. Loblaws is the chain. That's owned by the Weston family. Up until recently, we would have known them here as the owners of Brown Thomas, Arnott's and Selfridges in the UK. They would have also owned Quinsworth back in the day, which is how it ended up being transferred over. But, you know, they clearly could do both ends of the market, the high end, you know, Selfridges and Brown Thomas, all the way down to the cheap yellow pack stuff mm-hmm. as well. So they were able to cover all bases.
And what's interesting about that story is that the No Name brand thrived and is still going today. And yellow pack, we just didn't want it.
Yeah, I think it just the reputation was too bad too quickly. It was never the same kind of willingness to embrace that, you know, proud to be basic kind of approach that was taken in Canada. And in the end, yellow pack was replaced relatively quickly in 1990s by KVI, which was the next kind of Quinsworth and Crazy Prices brand. And again, it kind of became a bit of a shorthand quite quickly, maybe not to the same extent, but for kind of cheap, low quality stuff. Interestingly, though, at this stage, Quinsworth and Crazy Prices also introduced a premium own range, own label brand called Premium Choice. And that's kind of now become the standard in the own brand scene. You have your cut price line, you know, your very bland, generic value packaging. And then a premium own brand that focuses more on quality, but tries to do it in a way that's still a bit cheaper than the branded stuff. So, you know, today Tesco, which of course took over Quinsworth and Crazy Prices, it has Tesco Value, but it also has Tesco Finest. And then, you know, in other cases, there's a third tier. It's really kind of complicating things. Super Value has a daily basics range. It's cut price stuff, a standard Super Value range, and then the Super Value Signature Taste range, which is the kind of higher tier stuff. So it means that, you know, at every price point, there's an own brand offering there pretty much. And it's, you know, really grown what it means to be own brand. And that's reflected in our shopping baskets as well. There was a time not too long ago, we would have gone for the private labels, the branded stuff, so to speak, you know, the likes of Kellogg's, Coca-Cola, Cadbury's and so on. Back in 2005, that way it would have made about 90% of our shopping baskets. So the vast majority of our stuff was the branded stuff.
We were
that
all Celtic
buying.
Tigers, so in 2005.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we weren't dealing with that nasty own brand stuff. But through a mixture of the own brands getting better and the stigma being attached, that's kind of gone as well. also the fact that, you know, we've faced a lot of challenging periods since the Celtic Tiger, the recession more than a decade ago, now of course the energy crisis, we've become far more willing to go with own brands. According to Kantar, the own brands represented about half of the average shopping basket now, and every month, especially in the last few months, it's growing more and more. So it's now probably the majority of our shopping basket is own brand as opposed to the branded stuff.
Okay, and the branded items, the regular brands, can't be happy about this.
Well, it could be bad news for some, but I suppose the big names, the likes of the Coca-Colas and Kellogg's, will always have the edge in terms of awareness and reputation. And a lot of the smaller ones are benefiting as well, because the dirty little secret of own brands, it isn't really a secret at all, is the fact that the people making these own brand products, it's contracted out to manufacturers. It's not actually done by the supermarkets themselves. They don't have big factories making all this stuff. And often the products are made by the company that's behind the branded product that's meant to be competing with it. You know, countless stories of production lines where, you know, you have the same product going all the way and then at the end it's split in two and it's the branded stuff and then the own brand stuff at the end as well. So it's essentially the same product, just under a different name.
I wish we knew which ones, though. That'd be helpful, wouldn't it?
It's hard. Sometimes the supplier is on there. If you look at the small print, very hit and miss. I think producers, it's probably not in their interest to advertise the fact that you can get their stuff cheaper if you go to certain supermarkets. But you can figure out some of the deals, especially you'll often see announcements in the news of, you know, X company has done a supply deal with X supermarket. And that kind of tells you, well, okay, they're making the ice cream for that supermarket.
So watch out for those announcements.
Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes it's on the label as well. You can see where it's being produced.
Okay, now we have the discounters like Aldi and Lidl. They are changing their own brands, aren't they, to make them more attractive. What have they done?
Yeah, this is a really interesting a trend that they've brought in since they came here more than 10 years ago. Aldi and Lidl, of course, have their own basic and premium ranges, but they've gone a step further, because if you go onto their shops, you see a lot of products on the shelves that look like real standalone brands. And they just so happen to be in the shops, but they're actually just own brand products as well. That, you know, they'll have these vague, aspirational, pleasant names like, you know, a surname, an Irish surname, and farm at the end of it, or, you know, something meaningless like Harvest Valley. And it's giving the illusion of variety and choice to consumers, but it's also because having everything branded, say Aldi Value or Lidl Value, you know, it would look pretty kind of dystopian if you went into the shops and everything looked the exact same. Ultimately, though, it's just another way of playing the own brand game. And in fairness, other supermarkets have taken this as well. If you go into certain bigger chains and you look, you see these what look like branded products. If you look on the back, you see it's actually just made by that supermarket or for that supermarket. So it's just, again, giving the illusion of choice and spreading what it means to be an own brand.
I was told before that we're way behind the curve here on this, that our attachment to brands is quite strong here in comparison to people, say, in mainland Europe, who are well used to this over decades and who realise that own brand products are actually pretty much the same.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, as I say, you can see in the change in the supermarket or in the shopping baskets, we are getting there. We are realizing actually, you know, it's not something to be ashamed of. And I think the fact that it's no longer, you know, a yellow pack, something really glaring, and, you know, you can buy quite a nice looking own brand range. It's still cheaper. It's as good. Maybe sometimes some people would say even better than the real stuff, that, you know, we're slowly getting there.
Yeah, you can judge it yourself as well. I mean, there are certain things you might like to buy the branded item, but there are other products and they're the same, really.
Yeah,
you know,
we probably all have a couple of products where we say, oh, no, I need to get the branded version of that. But I think for the most part, you can get a good enough version or a better version even as an own brand.
Now, supermarkets, they use all sorts of ways and they're trying to find new ways all the time to tempt us in to spend. What are the other tactics that they employ?
Yeah, I mean, huge amounts of money. People wouldn't believe the amounts of money that go into trying to get customers to come into supermarkets and spend more time there and spend more money there as well. You know, they're really carefully crafted buildings. You know, there's very little random about a supermarket, going from the layout, the lighting, the music that's played. Everything is carefully thought through. You know, people will know about impulse purchases, the little, you know, goodies at the till that, you know, try and tempt you at the last minute. But, you know, it's way, way beyond that. So, you know, for example, supermarkets, a lot of them would put things like milk, butter, bread, eggs at the back of the shop, or maybe randomly kind of dotted or seemingly randomly dotted
around the place.
Yeah, it's not random at all, because the idea is, even if you're going in for a couple of basics, you still have to walk by everything and you have to see all their other products and see all the special offers that they have as well. One exception to that, though, is if a shop has a bakery, they tend to put the bread at the front. The idea being, you know, you walk in and you're instantly hit by freshly baked bread and pastries, and, you know, how can you possibly resist spending money on that? My supermarket, or one of them near me, and I don't know if it's on purpose or if it's a happy accident, the vent from the bakery is at the car park. So you get out of your car and immediately you're getting hit by that smell.
That's not
an
accident.
I don't think it is, to be honest with you. It's very careful planning. The fruit and veg as well, you'll notice, tends to be at the front as well, because it's nice and colourful, it's fresh, it kind of tells us healthy. It appeals to our kind of monkey brains, and you know, immediately you're hit with that, and you're wanting to spend money. Probably why we buy a lot of fruit and veg that we don't actually end up using.
And, yeah, and I know they spend a lot of money on figuring out how to get us to spend, but I really think that tactic, particularly this year, putting the Christmas sweets out before Halloween. I mean, in the conversations I've had with people, they find it really annoying.
Yeah, in the main part. But I think maybe not this year, but I think in previous years it's worked. We're annoyed by it, but then we say, do you know what? I will pick up those couple of bits. And then
have you bought a tub of sweets yet?
I haven't bought a tub of sweets yet. No. But you know, people do, and the earlier you buy it, the more likely you are to eat it and then have to go and replace it. Yeah. So that's what the supermarkets want you to do.
That's what they're betting on. Now, how much thought goes into brands, products going on particular shelves as you travel through?
Yeah, I mean, this planning, as I say, it's really meticulous and goes all the way down to the aisles and right down to the shelves themselves, because retailers will put the things they want you to buy at eye level. It's the one you're most likely to see. You know, it might be the one that has the biggest margin for them, not necessarily the best value. So they want you're going to walk in there and probably just grab the first thing you see rather than look down or up where you might find better value or something that you actually want more ultimately. You know, and ultimately producers will do what they can and to get into those prime slots, because if you're at eye level, you're much more likely to be sold than if you're down at the bottom shelf where people have to kind of almost crawl down.
And do suppliers have to pay more to be on the eye level shelf?
This is a bit of a murky world. There used to be a thing called Hello Money, which basically a fee was charged by supermarkets to get into the shelves, and then it was more if you wanted to get into the prime spots as well. That's actually been illegal for years, but there are other ways that these kind of things can be done. You know, a retailer will negotiate with a supplier to get the goods at as low a wholesale price as possible, in part so they can pass that on to consumer, but also, you know, to help their margins as well. And they can be very complex agreements. They can, you know, include, right, you'll give us products on a special offer from time to time, or you'll have in-store promotions or displays and this kind of thing. But what it also ultimately boils down to is that, you know, give us your goods at the right price and we'll make sure that the customer is going to see them and is more likely to buy them as well. Of course, it's a bit of a balancing act, because supermarkets need to have the big brands. They need, you know, there are certain things that if your supermarket doesn't have them, you'll just go somewhere else. So they need to get the balance right. But we've seen examples in the recent past of retailers playing hardball, even with the big names. You know, Tesco in the UK recently delisted a lot of Heinz products because they couldn't agree on a price. So they were willing to take a big brand and some big products, high demand products, off the shelves because they couldn't get them for the right price.
Yeah, it's
off
a cutthroat world.
Absolutely, yeah.
The other thing they've trained us to do is to look at the end of each aisle for the special offers, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is the thing, if you're only going to get the basics, the eggs down the back of the shop, you're going to walk down the middle aisle, but that's where all you see these yellow and red labels and special offers, and you're really, really kind of eye-catching. So you're going to see them even if you're just, you know, head down trying to get the basics. And sometimes they are genuinely good value, but often they're just trying to get you to spend more money. You know, you have to bear in mind that the retailer is making a big splash about a special offer because, you know, it's probably the best for them. You know, it might be good value for you as well, but it's probably the best, maybe it has the best margin for them. And it, you know, it can look like a good deal. So, you know, the 3-for-2 offer is a classic example of that. Maybe it's a good deal, but if you're only going to buy one thing and you go for the 3-for-2, you're doubling the amount of money you're spending. Or maybe you weren't going to buy it at all, but you say, well, it's 3-for-2, it's really good value. Yeah. So you're spending way more money than you planned.
Or you had never intended to buy 12 Cadbury's mini rolls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you see the 20 pack and you say, you know, quantities are really tricky. When you see the 20 pack and you say, oh, that's good value. But if you look at 2 10 packs would be slightly cheaper. You know, this one really annoys me, but dishwasher tablets and washing powders, you know, if you go to the aisle, there's like 10 different varieties and packs, and you almost need a calculator to figure out, well, which one is actually cheapest per tablet. And, you know, they hope you're not going to be bothered, because it is a lot of hassle to save a couple of cents. So supermarkets say, well, hopefully they'll just grab the first one they see, or the one with the
I'm trying to remember now, because with most products you can do work it out per weight, can't you? They have that on the
sometimes
price
they will
tag.
Have this per weight, yeah. So you can kind of figure out, okay, well, per kilo this is the best value. But sometimes they don't have that, and it's also in smaller print. You know, again, they're hoping you just go in and the first thing you see you just grab as well. It's probably not necessarily the best offer. And, you know, retailers know, you know, these tricks, like, you know, the red and the yellow labels. We think that means it's on special offer, that it's good value. So producers and sometimes retailers as well will stick a big red sticker on or yellow sticker with the price on the front, even though it's just the standard price. But, you know, you see that and go, oh, well, it must be on a special offer, so I'm going to grab it. But it's actually just the full price.
Buyer beware. A listener says the expiry date on the Christmas mince pies in my local shop is November the 30th. Says it all, really, doesn't it?
They're advisory. Things like that are advisory.
Adam, thanks so much. Adam, if we want to meet Adam, look out for him in your local supermarket. He'll be the one with the calculator in the dishwasher tablet aisle. Thanks so much, Adam. Coming up next, we'll be speaking to EU Commissioner Mairead McGuinness.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.